Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Another 2-3, another series win. So much to get into. But first, while the Phillies handled business this weekend, we did not, Jack. We handled business very poorly. We were close, but not correct. So June 10th, that is Wednesday. We have an event. We told you about it. We told you it's in Warminster. That's true. We told you the time, 7:07 game for the Blue Jays and the Phillies. That's true. We told you it was at a place called Blue Jays. It's not.
Nope.
We're playing the Blue Jays. Yep. That was on there. So here is the deal. Wednesday night, June 10th, we will be in Warminster. We are going to be at a place called Tony's Place. It's technically in Ivyland, but Warminster, Ivyland right there. So we will have the High Hopes Trivia and Phillies Watch Party sponsored by Miller Lite. You have a chance to win Phillies tickets and merch and all that stuff. And obviously we'll watch the Phils and the Blue Jays up in that horrible stadium that brings back terrible memories. First pitch 7:07, Miller Lights for Phils win. Celebrate responsibly. So Wednesday night, please come. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, again, it's not we'll take accountability on this one because we're accountability guys, but it's not our fault. So
no, clearly not. I mean, come on. The paper said Blue Jays. What do you want me to say, you know?
Well, and shout out to the guy who tweeted at me. He was like, "Hey, I'm looking for a Blue Jays in Washington." And I was at the time I was driving around. I was at a stoplight, of course. And I was like, "Hold on." It all clicked in my brain. Yeah. Of they're playing the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And the event's going to be in Warminster.
And then you texted me and we were like, well, great job, Oz. That's awesome. Yes, terrific. Yes,
yes. Yes. So we are locked in now.
Tony's place. Tony's place. It's his place and we'll be there.
Yes, yes. We're coming to hang out with Tony. I don't know if it's Anthony Rendon. You know, Tony Tubac.
He's not playing baseball, right? Is he?
he's got enough money, you know, where he could open up restaurants in every country every state if he wanted. So, no, it'll be good. It'll be a good time. And will we be enjoying... Who's going to be on the mound Wednesday?
So, sadly, I think it's Wheeler and Sanchez, Sanchez and Wheeler next two games. So
we got Lizardo. Zeus.
It's great.
One of the locations of his tip pitching issues last year.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Good. I forgot about that one. That was not a fun game.
Will they have a tribute video to Don Mattingly, you think, or no?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I mean, they went to the World Series last year, you know. Yeah, I think so, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
as they should.
As he's a Blue Jay, great.
Treasure him, as we say. Yes.
Yeah, as we say. Yeah. So come hang out Wednesday. It'll be a lot of fun. And we'll have some Miller Lights.
Yeah. Let's win some Phillies tickets. We'll do trivia. You can win stuff. So it's awesome. All right. Let's dive into the weekend. So much to get into with the weekend of baseball. First and foremost, just the overall thoughts about. Look, 26-11 since Mattingly came in. It is the best record in baseball since then. Shockingly, they've scored the most runs in baseball since then, which it doesn't feel that way. Or excuse me, they have the highest, most runs. They have the highest average, in baseball since then. Not the most runs, Have the highest average in baseball since then. Where are you at with this team right now? Because I do think, I think Mattingly's done a really good job. We've talked about that. I do think he's actually doing some things and managing. But, you know, I don't know that he is the reason that they're going to go all the way, but the bats get going a bit. Marsh, I mean, just an insane weekend. Three, you know, homer in each game, multiple hits otherwise. Hit homer off a lefty too, which was thrilling to see. But, you know, now people are starting to get concerned about the pitching. I didn't expect to come in today, or should they get hitting or pitching at the deadline? Where are you at with this Phils team? Because they're playing good baseball. They're a playoff team right now, but kind of still, like, this is the first weekend they scored over four runs in a game in, a month, you know? So where are you at?
Well, that's why there's no way they have the most runs in baseball.
I meant average. Richie said it on the air. Average. That was a bad job by me.
Definitely make sure you double check it if Richie said it. But
that's a good point, too.
Because our other good friend, Richie, in the Northeast, so he's running some numbers. He's my analytics.
He's great at numbers, our guy Richie in the Northeast. That dude brings it.
He's my analytics department.
Yeah.
And they have... So it's the best record, but they have a plus 33 run differential.
Which
the Braves, I think, have an 85 run differential during that time. I don't know.
Well, just if you go season long, and I know it started the season, I think the Phillies are minus 19 right now, and both the Braves and the Dodgers are plus 130 something or whatever. It's they're light years apart. I mean, the Braves and Dodgers have both scored over 80 more runs than the Phillies this season.
We're right there. Right there. Don't let this team get hot.
It is wild, though. It seems like they're really the only two teams in baseball that are hitting with any real consistency, which is wild, too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I one of my takeaways of the weekend is I really like that White Sox team.
They are the definition of frisky.
They can't pitch at all, but they can hit. I mean, that's a real professional lineup. And I'm so – there's a part of me jealous and also asking questions how – seemingly overnight their hitting identification got way better. These guys developed really, really fast, developing these hitters in the minor leagues. So the quick turnover nature of the White Sox, who 2 years ago lost
43.
And just had seemingly no hope for the future. And they bring in a new GM. I assume he brings in his own guys. And it's again, overnight, I feel like hitter identification and just the development of their guys has exploded.
Skyrocketed, yeah.
So I think the White Sox are...
When the White Sox are outsmarting you, that's not what you want.
I know.
That's a dangerous spot to be in.
I know. It was jarring. So, yeah, first off, it was what an annoying weekend not to be fully locked in. Again, I was out at one of my best friends' weddings. Now,
you got all kinds of stuff going on these days. It's just too much action, buddy, between the kids and the weddings, and you got another kid on the way. I mean, man, when do you have time for anything, Jack?
That's what everyone says.
I know. And
at the rehearsal dinner, don't worry, though, I was streaming the game. And we,
of course you were.
locked in for the final two final two innings. It's like, wow, he came back, and you know they're gonna probably win this ball game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, overall, like, it's one of those things where you face the Padres staff and you're annoyed at the offense, and then you think the pitching staff is great, and then the pitching staff faces a good offense.
Yep.
Doesn't look as good, and the hitting faces a horrible offense.
It's funny how that happens, huh?
All of a sudden, they look a little bit better. So, this weekend didn't change how I really feel about anything besides maybe, just maybe, dipping our toe in the water of the Scooble discussion.
Mm-hmm. So, shout out to that guy who in the mailbag tweeted at us that could they be, and we're like, no, idiot, stop it.
Idiot.
And I will get there. I'm not in fully, but like in belief, but to you, sir, I apologize.
Yes.
Full stop.
Yes. Yeah, we are. We might be having to enter in the discussion. But I think overall, like, some of the offensive pieces that you need to get going are getting there. Marsh, he kind of went through, was it like 2 weeks ago? He was striking out a lot, and I kind of had this fear, because I always have a fear in the back of my head with these guys. Like, all right, here comes the downturn. Here,
well, especially with Marsh, because he's never done this consistently this long, you know?
But now I guess he has, you know?
It feels so real, dude. Yeah. It's like, is he going to lead the league in average? Like, what the hell, man? It's awesome. I mean, he's going to be an all-star. Brandon Marsh can be an all-star, and like, deservedly so. Like, can't not be an all-star. It's pretty funny. Funny, I don't know if funny is the right word, but it's, you know, we spent all this time with Bohm and Stott and the development, the belief what they could be, and their first round picks for us, all this stuff. And then they go trade for Marsh, and he's the third of that kind of age range group. And he's the one who's developed into something. It really is. I think it's surprising for a lot of people.
Well, that's a good sign. It's not one of our own either.
Yeah, of course. Right. Well, yeah, exactly right. Yes.
God forbid. Right. But well, and also at the same time, the belly aching over Curtis Meade and Logan Ohapi.
How about it, man?
A lot of belly.
You didn't belly ache about Curtis Meade. You never talked about that trade. So
could you believe that? This guy's top 100 prospect. Anyway, we don't go back to the dark times. But yeah, and then Ohapi, who
he's not good.
No, he's not good.
Turns out not good.
No, he's not. And you know, Marsh now is hitting .294 against left-handed pitching this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, it's one of the things with Topper. He didn't give him a chance. He got a little too obsessed, with matchups and numbers. And like, I'm sure if those guys like Stott and Marsh, if they're facing a lefty, there's extra pressure, because it felt like if I didn't get a hit, I'm not going to see a lefty ever again, you know? And that's been one of the differences with Mattingly coming in here, is like, sure, he's had moments where he's pulled him. I mean, he pulled him in LA and it worked out.
Yeah.
Edmundo hit the big home run and stuff like that. But he's pretty much getting a chance to play every day against lefties. And now that he's getting more reps, he's,
who'd have thunk? Reps are important. Wow.
He's doing a good job. Now, I do think they had a tip in the game yesterday where he went the opposite way against the lefty, because Schwarber was like, I don't know if you noticed this. Schwarber was standing at second base, and then as the pitch was like coming, he was putting his arm out.
I didn't notice that, really.
To give him location, I think. And of course, Marsh took it and went the opposite way. But you know, Bohm had a really solid weekend.
He did. Looking like
Bohm, you know, at least thinking the opposite way, line drives up the middle. So, I mean, he's obviously massively important. I just, because you kind of start.
Yeah, they need a friggin' righty bat. They need one.
But the righty bat also kind of had a big weekend as well. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. Come on. You saw Adolis out there. You're seeing the bat flip. Ah, dude, if he hits one of those in October, I'm ready to listen. I think we should commit to him.
A 10-year contract?
Yeah, I like it. One of those. It's going to be one of those in the postseason in a meaningful spot. Yes, obviously Adolis, he did have a good weekend. Yesterday was not a great weekend. Bat looked a little bit quicker. We like that. He has about a month and a half to really, really change their minds without having to go out. But,
yeah.
but let's say for the next month and a half, he hits 7 home runs. And it's like, wow, like Adolis has arrived. And Stott stabilizes a little bit. And like, he's been fine ever since like a dreadful start. Like, his overall numbers don't look great, but I think he's been okay.
I agree. Yeah. A nice piece of hitting yesterday in a big spot. Yeah.
Well, that, and it's like, I'm watching that, and I texted my one buddy. It's like, why can't you just do that all the time?
I know. Like, I know. It felt like that was the hitter he was going to be. Like, that hit yesterday, like, up the middle, like kind of looping it out, like, hard. That was what we thought he was going to be, that type of hitter. And you're right. It's so rare. I mean, he's had success this year pulling the ball, but he hasn't been that type of hitter. It's strange.
And then you got Bohm, who at least has stabilized. Like, he's hitting. I mean, his OPS is like 650, but that's also the best it's been in a long time. So,
like, yeah, I mean, he was in the fours, like, not that long ago. He had like a 440 OPS or whatever that was, you know? So
like, again, I'm still in the camp of, I think they need to go get a bat, but at the same time, and this is, this is just coming back to my Scooble point. It's like, which is more of a needle mover for this team? Like, Taylor Ward or Tarik Skubal?
Well, yeah, I get that. But again, so let's just get into it and we'll get back to the weekend, because I think it is the number one thing kind of just being talked about right now. I get your point, but it's not really a one-to-one there. You know, what you're giving up to get Taylor Ward is very different from what you're giving up to get Skubal. You know what I mean? So let's do the Skubal thing and then we'll get into the bat part. Okay. So I'm sure people have seen it. You know, they've been linked. Buster Olney mentioned it. He has since kind of said it was more of a, it's not reported as much as kind of assuming the Phillies will be in a bit. But I get it. I think, look, Skubal, Wheeler and Sanchez, I mean, in the discussion for best three ever, like, you know, that's really unreal. Yeah. But what it would cost to get Skubal for 2 months, I think it's so unlikely that he would be re-signed here based on the amount of money he's going to get and, you know, the amount of money already put into that pitching staff moving forward with the contracts with Sanchez, Lazardo, and Nolan, all that. I just can't justify it myself. Like, I can't trade Gage Wood and this and that to go get Skubal when I do think he makes you better. But if they don't hit, they don't hit. Like, I get it. And again, the idea, if, you know, they have Skubal and Sanchez and Wheeler, they have a chance to win a World Series. I just, to me, especially, like, look at last year. I mean, they got Harrison Bader for very little, and he was as good a deadline acquisition as anyone had. So I don't think getting the big name is always the right move. And in this case, I don't see how they make it work and not submarine the future. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you'd hope that the 2 months thing would
drop the price, but it come on. Like, it's going to be, Soto got traded with 2 months. It was a lot, or so it was a year out, but these guys get traded with 2 months, and they, like, it will be more than, he's potentially the best pitcher in the sport. You know, he's won two straight Cy Youngs. Like, it's just not going to be, you know, it might not be as expensive as we would think, but it's not going to be cheap.
All right. Now let me lay out the case here for a second. Let me lay out the case, and full disclosure, I haven't fully talked myself into the Skubal thing yet, because, like, I know the risks, I know the worry. I'm a prospect hugger, but as what we've kind of said, honestly, in the last couple of deadlines, is if you trust people that are drafting, developing, and scouting in the international market, like, you should be able to go out. I mean, the Dodgers have 8 top 50 prospects right now, like, and they trade them all the time. So you should be able to keep replenishing talent.
No, they've done that, though. The Dodgers know they could do that because they have consistently kept doing this, and they can we feel good about where we're at, but we do not have the history of these prospects with this group yet, you know?
I know. And if you're telling me that the bat is Byron Buxton, okay, like, I would much rather have Byron Buxton. But, like, is one bat really changing anything for the offense, or is the offense is what it is?
Well, I get your point, but we would have said that about Harrison Bader last year, and if he didn't get hurt, who knows? So I agree with you, but, like, it is possible that you get the right, that Taylor Ward comes in and he's hot and it's you know, I get your point, but I do think that, you know, you can't just say that like that declaratively. You know what I mean?
I know. But I think, like, Harrison Bader was also the only bat that they've gotten at deadline that's also
I agree. Yeah, other than Marsh long term, but yeah.
If I had to bet on like Harrison Bader having an 800,
I agree. It's unlike you're playing the odds there. I agree.
So, like, the case for Skubal is a bat really changing this, or can you get there with the guys you have and hope that they have a little bit more moments, and then you add Skubal in, and by the way, then all of a sudden you can have Lizardo coming out of the
bullpen. As your four, yeah. Or as your four, yeah, when you need it, yeah.
As your four. Because right now, I mean, neither...
Yeah, the four is a problem. It's a problem.
But right now, either Nola or Painter should not touch a ball in a playoff game. So, like, now, I know full knowing, and I know that if they trade for Scooble, Nola is still going to start a playoff game before him, because that's how things work around here. But, so, it's just... creating possibly the best rotation in the history of baseball. We know Dombrowski is a sucker for just great starting pitching. I know it'd be the four aces all over again, times a million. Not even times a million. That's not fair. That's disrespectful. But you get my point. They would legitimately build the 2011 Phillies all over again. It would make the rotation.
I
mean,
I think it's legitimately the best top three I've ever seen. It's like, what, like Maddox, Plavin, Smoltz? Like, that's like, there aren't many I could think of that would be in the same hemisphere.
Yeah. So the prospect cost would hurt my heart for a day or two, 100%. But also, when you start thinking, I'm going to have Tarek Skubal heading into a playoff series, that is super enticing. So yeah. I know he can't hit. I know that we want a bat.
Maybe he can. Who knows?
but there's a case for Skubal. I'm not even sure how in on it I would be. But it would be exciting, obviously, to add.
It'd be thrilling, dude. Yeah. Are you kidding me? It'd be so much fun. And look, I do think that it increases your chances to win. And I think at a basic level, as we approach this, there's going to be the hitting versus pitching need thing. And there's also going to be the philosophical question of how much do you want to invest in this group right now? And how much do you want to, take from the Rob Peter being the future to pay Paul the present? And it's a fascinating discussion, especially because to the point you just said, it's like, no matter what they do, you still need guys to get hot in the playoffs. You still need guys who have struggled in these spots before to be a little different this year. So it's a really fascinating, interesting conundrum. And especially when we take into account the last time the Phillies were organizationally in this situation, the decade of sadness that we had to endure because of those moves. So it's a really complicated, kind of precarious spot organizationally, I mean, in terms of like how the future is going to go. It really is an interesting either or.
Well, yeah. And the way Painter's pitching might be changing the calculus on a guy like Gagewood.
Totally.
Where you feel like you can't give up, you can't trade him because you don't really know what Painter's going to be. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that's going to be a one to follow. The one that I'm becoming more and more interested in as we get all of our trade deadline thoughts on the way.
They got to on June 8th. That's when we do it. Yeah.
On June 8th is the idea of, possibly moving Stott and like going and putting together a good package to go get Arise and Elliot Ramos. Arise
360 or something. He's been awesome again. The guy just hits.
Arise. And I'm not even the biggest. I'm not a huge Arise guy in the past because he was like dreadful at first base and a slap hitting DH. Like, what does that really do for you? But the thing that's changed with him this year is he goes to the Giants and he's working with Ron Washington. And by the numbers, he's like this. He grades out second in baseball and outs above average at second base.
Used to be a second baseman. Like back, he came up as a second baseman and then switched over and stuff.
Now I find it very hard to believe that's true. That like he's like the second best defensive baseman. Second best defensive second baseman in baseball. Like, I don't believe that fundamentally because I don't really believe in defensive metrics. But at least if he can stand there.
Yeah, he's not. The point is he's not one of the worst if those are the metrics, likely. You know?
Yes, but then you see Stott make that play yesterday and you're like, I don't know, it's pretty sweet having him, up the middle. Yeah. So, and then Ramos would probably cost a little bit more. And I know Tucker's been banging the drum for Ramos.
I love him. I had him. He's a fun player. Yeah.
He's a good player. He's been hurt a lot this year, but he's a right-handed bat with some real pop. And I'm sure that getting out of San Francisco would actually only help his power. So like a package for those two, again, not sure where it would start, but Arise is on an expiring. So it wouldn't cost him a lot of money. I would probably put Stott in the deal. So at least they would have a second baseman with another year of control. Maybe he has some value there, obviously the defense that he brings, but I can't believe that I'm sitting here,
I can't either, but I love it. I'm fully in on this. This is great.
Wanting Arise, but putting at the top of the lineup with a 330 average, with Marsh's 330. That's how you could lengthen this thing out. Like if you ask me, would I rather do a Ryzen Ramos, you know, a stop thing? He plays second base for the rest of the year, and you'll see what happens after this year. Or Scooble, like I would rather do the Ryzen Ramos.
Yeah, I love that idea. I really do, especially because then I get the stuff of the rise, but it does feel like, you know, especially this year, but the last couple of years, baseball is moving towards Arias's skill set rather than away from it. I mean, we've talked about what the Rays are doing. I mean, they're basically just hitting the ball on the ground and putting the ball in play and stealing bases. And that's they have the best record in the American League, you know? And it's really been that simple. They are prioritizing, not worrying about hitting the ball hard. They're prioritizing just putting it in play and being fast. And I, you know, more or less, you know, they got Cameron Arrow and they got some Yandy. Yeah. They got some dudes who can hit, but for the most part, philosophically, they're doing it that way. And I do think with how bad the game is right now from a hitting perspective, I mean, we had a caller on the air to say, it said it's 1968 again, and he's not that far off, you know, from a numbers perspective. You know, a guy like Arise who does put the ball in play a ton and get on base a lot hitting the ball, I do think he's a more valuable player today than he was 5 years ago.
Yeah, maybe. I like the idea of having pests in the lineup, especially heading into
for this team. We don't want to ever have those
heading into the postseason series, especially because, like, you know, which the rest of Trey's year going to be like, you know,
Oh my God, totally.
It would be another lefty. It'd be another lefty. I get it. But like, again, with him, Schwarber, and with Schwarber, Harper, and Arise, and Marsh so far, but really those top three, they're not hopeless. They're not against lefties.
Yeah. Arise is pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my big trade deadline primer on June 8th.
I honestly love that idea. You know, I really do. I think to your point, I don't think it would be an insane amount for those two guys. Certainly, obviously, less than Scooble. And I think you're giving yourself kind of two shots to help things and two guys who can do different things for you. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And the Giants are obviously, you know, they're going to be trading, I would think.
Yeah. Now Ramos, I think, has 2 years of control after
this. So it costs a little more because of that.
Yeah. So he's a pretty cost controllable.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right. We'll get to the take back in a few, but back to the weekend quickly. Lizardo struggled again a bit. Like I keep getting into it with Joe and John. Like they are very concerned about Lizardo. I am not. I feel good about Lizardo at moving forward. Wasn't great over the weekend. Where are you at with Lizardo?
Well, the balls are also like flying on Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, like there were some pop-ups that kind of got out of there. So, yeah, I mean, No, he's also, he was on a great stretch before that.
I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. I'm surprised this is like a topic, a discussion thing. It seems like people are really down on Lazarda.
He's certainly been more of a three than a one this year, which is disappointing. You expect him to take a step forward. His ERA is jacked up a little bit, 100%. But he's also shown enough times this year and last year where he has some stones. And in big starts, there's something about him that I trust. So it wasn't great. I think the White Sox also are a pretty good offensive team. And I also think it was like 93 degrees and humid, and the ball was flying out. So it was just one of those nights at the ballpark. The nice part about October, it's generally a little bit colder. So I'm not overly concerned about Lazardo. Painter, obviously.
That's why I didn't even lead there. It's like, yeah, Nola. Yeah, sure. It's like, yep.
Yeah, Nola's weird. I mean,
let's put it this way. I feel better about Nola than Painter right now in that, but not, you know, great about either, obviously.
No, I think Nola got hurt a little bit yesterday because it was so windy. I mean, that's why I think he was walking. He had, four walks?
It was his first walks in a while. He'd been really good with that with, like, three or four starts in a row, I think.
Yeah, but it was still a miserable watch. I mean, that was a 3.5-hour game. That's the longest.
Oh, my God. Well, it was for the first five. I was joking with Emily. I was like, is this going to be one of those games where there's no zeros in the box score? Because it was like every inning, it was like 5-5 in the fifth. And they just kept like they score. Like, it was like one of those games, and then obviously leveled off. But yeah, for a little while there, it was like, is this going to be like a 16-14 game?
Oh, it's good to see two teams enter into a seesaw back and forth. Yeah, so Nola, I'll be interested what his next start looks like, just because I don't want to get too thrown off the scent, because I did think he found good things in the two Padres starts. Obviously, the Padres are not a good offensive team, but I think that there was a path forward, and I do think the wind yesterday affected him. Pitching in the wind is no fun. Because sometimes, obviously, your balls flatten out and whatnot. Like, if the wind's blowing this way, your curveball's going this way, it just makes it doesn't spin as much. And when you're used to hitting a spot over and over again, but then the wind's there and takes it off, like, it just changes things. Painter, it's going to be every podcast, it feels like. It's just that, like, he has to find a way to become more explosive. And because the ball's just like, hitters are hitting over 400 now against the fastball, I believe.
That's bad.
Again, we had our concerns about it heading into the year. And he's got like a 1.6 whip, which is atrocious.
That is hard to believe. Yikes. Yeah,
I think he's the highest qualified ERA amongst rookies, which makes a lot of sense. He's got to develop some dog. He's got to develop some dog. It's a lot of nibbling. It's a lot of not being aggressive. It's a lot of throwing. Like, it's got to be a little bit more conviction and gumption behind the pitches. And, like, I just don't think that there's anything that's going to really change it in the season. I think Cotham said the other day that they're working on having more extension. They're working on this kind of stuff. This feels like an off-season, get in the lab and let's figure this thing out. Because right now he's not giving him a chance. He's just not. And he's allowing, that one pitch to Jacob Gonzalez was like 87, didn't spin at all. And it was one of the most hung pitches I've ever seen in my life. So, like, I could throw out all the, this happens all the time. I mean, Halladay had a 10 ERA and they set it down.
Sure. Like,
all that does happen, but also there's plenty of prospects where it just doesn't work out. So, I think that there needs to be a real reconstruction here. They got to figure out, hey, should we just cut the fastball all the time and make it like a Corbin Burns plan, where instead of, you already had natural cut to it, like, just use that over and over again versus trying to get it back to where it was. Maybe. I think for the rest of this year, certainly it's just going to be a hope and a prayer when he goes out there versus, like, he's going to turn a corner and all of a sudden he's going to look like the guy that we thought.
Yeah, you're just hoping to get as many quality innings out of him as you can. And I agree with you. It just, like, he'll have some good starts. He'll have these ones. I think it's going to be up and down because he's had some moments. But to your point, I think it's an off-season thing to get hope for that consistency and to get back to where he needs to be. All right, take back in a sec. Shout out to Kelly's Corner. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and Kelly's Corner in Leicester. Check out Kelly's Corner for every Phillies game and enjoy $4 Miller Lite bottles and their mouthwatering roast pork sandwiches. Miller Lite for Phil's wins. Celebrate responsibly. All right, Fritzy, what's in the bag?
Let's see. Anything different that we did not talk about? So this is a movement that I need them to all get behind. I don't know if you saw yesterday, but Trey is rocking a stash now. And
buddy, did I see?
And me personally, I think they all have to do it now.
I love it.
I think they all have to do it besides Marsh. I know he won't do it.
Don Mattingly is their manager. I know he doesn't have one, but he is the all-time stash guy.
But that's why they got to do it, is that if they can bully Don into rocking the stash.
He looks weird without one. I'm sorry. I need him to have a stash.
Have you noticed, by the way, the no teeth smile that he has multiple times a game?
Yes.
It's very funny.
Like that kind of thing, yeah. It's good.
Yeah, he's always just a bleep-eating grin at all times. It's good.
Oh, if you were Don Mattingly, you'd probably have a bleep-eating grin all the time, too.
Just happy to be there. But I do want them all to wear a stash. I mean, I think a heart
stash. It'd be hilarious. It'd be awesome. It'd be a thing.
Yes.
Fans would be doing it. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I think was it Swisher with the Yankees? I think he went stash and everyone brought like the stash.
That sounds familiar to me. It sounds familiar to me. Yeah.
It'd be a good look. And then they can bully Donnie into doing it and we'd be really back. We'd be really back. From
this. I love this idea. Honestly, you have many great ideas on this pod. This is up there.
Thank you. Jonathan Bolin has a .77 ERA since coming off the IL. Good to see.
We always believed.
That fastball velo is ticking right on up. I mean, he had 100 a couple times over the weekend where it was like, we like to see that. So I don't think we're out of like some inherited runners problems, I believe, with Bolin. But at least overall, .77, pretty good. Fastball, good. Would like him to have a better feel for that changeup, but at least the sweeper looks like it's a decent pitch. So he at least kind of looks like we thought heading out of spring training. Keller is just kind of Keller, but I still think maybe trending in the right direction, but we'll never have.
He's been slightly better. He has not been quite as bad, but that is a spot where we talked a lot about, Scooble and a bat and stuff. You know, that is a spot where, one more arm might be needed depending on how Alvarado continues to look, how this goes forward. Like, That is not a settled spot either yet, I think.
Well, certainly a lefty leverage arm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like Alvarado's, he was good yesterday, but heading into yesterday at a 5.91. I think Mays is just like a good.
He's fine.
Fifth inning lefty guy. Banks has been bad this year. You thought maybe he could help you out in leverage spots, but I don't think that's the case. So, so maybe going out and seeing if there's some kind of lefty leverage arm, obviously. Chapman's like the
I mean the connect Dombrowski, the whole thing,
if you could add Chapman to this bullpen, it'd be
how great. I was telling well, Emily,
there's no Dombrowski connection with Chapman.
He wasn't there in that was too early. I was telling Emily this weekend about Mizorowski, and because I was telling, actually before the game, I was like, broke all the starter records, and then he broke it again in that game. I was talking to her about how Chapman was like the first guy really just consistently throw over 100. And I was like, yeah, and he's still doing it like 16 years later. And she's like, what? It's just, it is wild to think that guy has maintained that velocity for that long.
Yeah. Was it Kratz that hit the walk off against him in 2012?
Kratzy.
I think so. I think it was like, that was like peak of his powers.
Mm-hmm.
Chapman too, when he's throwing like 105.
Yeah.
But somehow, it's
unbelievable.
Well, he was trending towards just kind of done, and then
he felt like it, and then he had a resurgence.
I think he figured out like a split up there with the Boston, So he would have to call it. If they did Chapman, it would have to be Chapman and someone, mm-hmm. like Chapman and Wilson or Chapman and Jaron Duran, and then that'd be a bigger trade package to go get him, but. We're pretty locked in on the trade deadline. I don't know if you can tell. We got a lot of thoughts.
Only a month and a half till we get there. A little longer. No big deal.
I know. Hopefully they're still in a playoff spot.
Tell me about it.
That'd be a tricky deadline if they're like 500-ish.
It's a tricky deadline regardless, again, because of what we talked about before, and that they don't have all the prospects in the world to go shopping with. And, there's a balance of how much you want to give up for these high-end guys and kind of the middle tier tough, and again, how much you want to invest in this group. There's a lot of layers to it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's going to be fascinating, especially what's the status of baseball next year.
Yeah. Well, like, that too. You're right. So,
and then, I mean, Duran looks like he's reached another level.
Dude, he looked the last like four or five outings. You're right. Like he's striking more guys out. He looks like the guys up there look silly when they're batting against him. It's exciting.
Kind of what we thought when we traded for him.
Yes.
He still has not blown a save yet. Obviously, we know about the Manzardo home run, but it looks like he is leveling up right in front of our eyes, which is very exciting.
Also crazy. And I said, I was talking to Emma about this yesterday too, and the idea that I'm excited that we have a season. I'm excited they could, you know, make the playoffs, have a chance to win the World Series, not. But like, honestly, a big thing that I'm just so happy about is that we're going to have all-stars with the all-star game here. Like, we could have, I mean, there's six guys with, you know, Schwarber, Harper, Marsh, Wheeler, Sanchez, and Duran. Like, all those guys can make, I don't think all six will make it, but they all have real cases to make it. And it felt, for the first month of the season, like the all-star game was going to be here and we're going to have one representative and we were going to stink. And it was going to be such an embarrassing like moment to have the game here. And that, like, I know it's a meaningless game, but there is a large part of me that is just so happy that that game's not going to be like likely not going to be just a big like bummer, you know?
So do you run all of your like baseball thoughts by Emily over the weekend?
I run all my thoughts, but Emily is like just forced to listen to my thoughts.
Yes.
And some movie thoughts, but, and I'll always be like, I know you don't care, but I'm telling you anyway.
Yeah. And she has probably reached a point now where it's just like nod and wait. You know?
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
I hear you. I hear you.
Oh yeah. Yep. Sometimes she'll be like, you already told me that. I'll be like, ah, damn.
Yeah. Again. It's good. A lot of
well, you know, as my daughter likes to say, me and her are Yappuccinos, and Emily is not a Yappuccino. So
no. All right. So some minor league minute stuff.
Yes.
Gage was very good again. Now the one difference in this outing is I thought that he went back to the well with the fastball a lot. And again, it's a great pitch. We know it's a great pitch. We know it can dominate hitters, probably even at the big league level. Maybe not dominate, but it can get out to the big league level. I did not think he used his off speed enough to like get out of jams, you know? And like, those are the pitches. That's why he's in Double A. He's in Double A to challenge himself. So like, I understand he's got this, like, I think Gage has this like bulldog psycho, like, I want to go out there and whatever it takes to win, which you do appreciate. Like, that is a good quality to have. But there also has to be a development part of it. And it probably doesn't register in his brain of like, hey, this is like a 1-2 count. Instead of trying to blow the fastball by him, let's throw the split or let's throw the slider. I didn't think he used his off speed a lot in his last start.
That comes with age and reps and coaching and all too, though.
Sure. But yeah, I mean, it was another really, really good outing for him.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
On the same night was Kate Overmuller, the other, the other baby boy. And I tell you what, he's starting to look just like we thought. Just like we thought. There's going to be some exciting pitching development things right in front of our eyes, which is great. First off, he was dotting again. You know, the command from the spring breakout game in his first outing have gone away, and he is now dotting with his fastball. He allowed one run, but it was on a balk, so it doesn't even really count. And I don't think he balked. Also, I appreciate he got real mad after that and started just, like,
good.
Mowing people down.
Yeah.
So he threw like 3 innings and struck out 6. He's off. Like you see it. You see it very easily with him.
It pops, so to speak.
It pops. Like Gage pops, he pops. And that's exciting. Matthew Fisher had another good outing, 2 straight in a row. 3 innings, 5 Ks. His thing is going to be, because he comes from football, and so he played football and baseball. He's never fully committed to baseball. His velo, I think, is still like 90 to 92. For him to be a possible guy going forward, we need that to be at least 92 to 95. But again, he's 18, so we don't need to freak out too much. But he's showing some good pitchability. I really like his slider. And it was overall those 2 straight good starts for one of our other baby boys, Matthew Fisher.
Yeah, buddy.
And the velocity is something that I think needs to continue to trend up. Oh, and then Ramon Marquez shoved again. Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Ramon Marquez is starting to get into the nerdy prospect culture.
Good. That's exciting.
That I've become a part of, or, you know, kind of look at. And I think we went 5 1/3, struck out 9.
Whoa, buddy.
Allowed 1 earned. The changeup is stupid. It's just a stupid pitch. There is some concerns about like the fastball, but like we don't need to worry about it right now. It's still trending up.
How old is he?
He's 20.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a quick rise for Ramon Marquez, yeah. But he is, I mean, we've had a tough time. I mean, like, Gage is number one pitching prospect wise. And that's like I think Marquez is 2, and then Obermueller. But like all 3 look really, really good. And then, of course, because we got to grind the Dominican Summer League tape as well. I did not know this guy when they signed him. But you want to talk about, you know, popping off the screen. You know, my guy Mitch Rupert, he was watching.
Oh, I love Mitch. Mitch does a great job.
He DM'd me. He's like, hey, if you're bored, like, go watch the first 2 innings.
Even if you're not bored, it's you. Are you kidding me? Just go. You could just say, go watch it. You'd be like, I can't wait.
Anyway, Yomar Samudio, dude, he's 17, 3 innings, 6 Ks, was up to 99 with a hammer breaking ball.
At like 17?
Out of nowhere. He looked like, it reminded me of Claussen / Garrett Richards, you know?
Wow.
Like, where it just jumped. He was consistently hitting like 96 to 98 and then topped out at 99. He was awesome. Like I'm ready to put him as my number two pitching prospect. So I think he's pitching again this week, obviously second week of the DSL. But he really popped. Now in the third, he started getting a little worn down. He was a little tired. Who cares? He's 17.
Yeah,
17. Plenty of time.
Sorry, yeah. 99.
He's still
get a break. Yeah,
yeah. But he was awesome. And then your Francisco Renteria update.
Yes.
So this is the first week. This was his numbers. He hit .529.
Oh, buddy.
With an OPS over 1500, he had 3 triples, 2 doubles. He's like also huge for. He's huge.
And he looked huge, and that like the stuff I've seen, it's like he looks. You could kind of tell. It's like, wow, he looks big.
Yeah, he's huge. The one triple was like windblown. I don't really count it, but everything else has been like. I think once he develops strength and develops more power, like the bat, it has that special sound that you search for, and like it's a big lumbering bat that I think that. As he continues to put on muscle and get stronger, it's going to be even better. And it's already.
Is he the most important person in the organization, player wise?
Yeah. I mean, like,
right.
Like Aiden got the back.
I know Aiden, the back thing, but that's like, you know, if Aiden can come back, he's right there with him. But like,
I think having a
kid. Yeah. Kid at 17 with this kind of stuff. I mean, that's real upside, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a window, extender, and really could just be the next,
yeah, be the next dude. Yeah.
So yeah, and then we didn't talk about it last podcast, but Aiden got the back thing on Friday.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now Dombrowski said that this is going to take care of it. I nothing suggests that.
Yeah.
I mean, everything from ChatGPT to other people is more like, well, yeah, this is where we're at, is that this is something that will hopefully reduce the symptoms and you can kind of play through it. So we'll see. We'll see. But
at least they're doing something proactive and not just like waiting around it. At least they're trying something. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah. It's almost like they didn't have a choice anymore. Like
Yeah. We can't just sit around and wait and nothing's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of it.
Well, it's not it because again, let us tell you again, because we did such a poor job of it last time. Tony's Place in Ivyland. It's warm in Sur area. Wednesday. So two nights from tonight, June 10th, we're going to be at Tony's Place. Our High Hopes trivia, Phillies trivia and watch party sponsored by Miller Lite. And when Phillies tickets, merch, all the good stuff, and watch Phillies Blue Jays 7:07 start at Tony's Place with us. It's going to be awesome coming out. We miss you guys. We haven't had an event in a while. Please come hang out. It's going to be a really, really fun time. And don't forget, by the way, June 20th, the Reading Phils game. That's going to be so much fun. Just talk to neighbor Tommy. He's going to come.
Nice.
It's going to be fun. The family's coming, all that. Emily's inviting her sister and father. Nice. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I am planning on having Walker and Sonny there.
Got to. Yeah, Zoe will definitely be there. So should be fun.
I gotta find which set of parents want to be.
Know that game, buddy. Know that game.
Coming. So
so coming out this Wednesday, and then we get the 20th, the 24th. We'll tell you more about coming up. But
24th is Garage.
So I mean, yeah, Garage in Philly. So Rittenhouse. So awesome. Can't wait to see you guys on Wednesday. We'll be back Thursday after that game that night to react and all that. So until then, he's Ritz and Seltzer.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.